So we're on the, tonight we're on steps 6 and 7, and we're reading from the book, The Steps We Took by Joe McHugh. I bought a lot the first couple of years. My wife says I bought 100 of these and gave them out. I hope somebody read it. We've used this to, in conjunction with the textbook, because I think it illuminates the steps, and it's by the Joe from the Joe and Charlie, the original Joe and Charlie. And if anybody understood the book, it was him. And he helped me a lot. You can see a lot of the stuff he says, you've heard me say. You learn from one to the other. This is really the best stuff on 6 and 7, which is the steps that change me. If I'm having problems in my life today, it's because I'm not working 6 and 7. And I'm not taking the action required. So we're going to read and we're going to read about 4 or 5 of these pages, and then we'll open it up, and then we'll finish it, hopefully next week. In the middle of the page, on page 93, and you all have this daily inventory, which we call the spiritual checklist. And we're going to be looking at this, because he talks about the principles in the program. And if you look at the spiritual checklist, which is on the site as well, the spiritual principles are the personality characteristics of God's will. And these are the principles he's going to talk about when he talks about the principles of living. It says, we have taken the first 5 steps. At this point, many people make the mistake of turning it over to God and expecting God to apply steps 6 and 7 to their lives. But he writes, these are our steps. God doesn't need to take steps 6 and 7, we do. And I've heard people say that they're on step 6 and 7. You're not on 6 or 7, you do step 6 and 7. It's in the chapter Into Action, and it's the action of admitting to myself what's objectionable in my personality, and then step 7, with God's help, trying to change the way I practice my personality. So I practiced the personality that God gave me. And remember, Joe and Charlie make the point that God is not going to do for us what we could do for ourselves. He's not going to change us. We have to be willing to let go of our old personality and practice the new with his help. The one thing he will do is he'll make us miserable when we're practicing the self-centered personality. And then he'll hope that when we're miserable enough and bothered enough and disturbed enough, that we'll seek him and practice the opposite. It says, one of the greatest mistakes people make with steps 6 and 7 is thinking that it's some easy automatic process. We turn it over to God and say, fix me up, give me the $29.95 special. It's not going to happen. It says, remember, we've been given self-will. And although we can't do it by ourselves and we have to ask for the strength to do it, I really like this, only we can refashion my personality. I'm the only one that can refashion it with God's help, because I'm the only one that can let go of my old personality. And God won't do that for me. If God controlled the personality, he says, it would never have gotten in the shape we let it get in. So what we actually do is, when we refashion our personality, is we let go of controlling my personality and let God control my personality and be the person I can be. It says, we can fashion this new pace based on what we've learned. So that's why you don't do 6 and 7 until you've done steps 4 and 5. You have to know what's wrong with you. You have to understand the exact nature of your wrongs, which in the handout is the left side of this daily inventory. These are the characteristics of a self-centered person. As soon as I get back at self, it triggers one of these characteristics. Anybody not have one of these characteristics? Anybody not have all of them? We all do. And so it doesn't say personal characteristics of Jason, but not Stuart. We all have this. And so we're all afraid to do our 4th step, but what we find out is that we're all the same. We are all selfish, dishonest, frightened, and inconsiderate, self-centered people. And we weren't bad people. We had the wrong director, right? Because it was me and not God. And so I thought my motives were good, but they were wrong because they were self-centered. So I was able to start forgiving myself when I looked at the 4th and 5th step, that I wasn't a bad person, I just was misguided. And I was the one that did it. So I can let go of that and God will guide me. It says, there are certain things we've seen that have become objectionable to us. So we begin to work against these things. We work against them and replace them, and the new things will then become our new character. And Chuck C. says we act our way into right thinking. Has anybody ever heard that before? And this is what they're talking about. We work against our old personality and practice the new personality with God's help. Now, we need God's help in two ways. If I don't have a relationship with God, I won't even recognize the old personality. It's just me. That's just the way I see things. And then I'll go down that road till I get miserable enough to say I don't want to do that anymore. But what if you're with God and you're working the steps, you can recognize it right away when you're back into self. It says we can use the new ideas and thought patterns and get better returns. And I wrote down here, we don't change in what I think, but what I've learned. So self-knowledge won't help me. I have to learn it through my experience. And it says, we are reborn, and we're not the person I used to be. I wrote that. And it says that in the big book several places. So in the next page, you can see this is really good stuff. It says, we can buy into the results of the new characteristics and let them become part of my life. And we also can change that later if need be. So I see the results of practicing my new character, and I feel better. And I'm not in as much conflict with everybody and everyone. I'm not dominated by fear, and I'm not angry all the time. We don't get perfect, but we can see a lot of improvement. The more you do this, you can see a lot of improvement, and the people who live with you can see it before you do. It says we can go anywhere we want to go most of the time based on what we want to give up, what we're going to let go of. Letting go is the whole program. Am I willing to give up my self-centered personality? Everyone thinks change is based on what you're going to get, but change has a lot to do with what you're willing to get rid of. And remember Sunday night we talked about our old ideas. What old ideas am I holding on to that are killing me? What are the things I think I know that are right and true that are wrong and that I won't get rid of? And change is what you're willing to get rid of. And it's like a hot air balloon that goes up when you throw the sand out of it. A lot of people don't want to throw the sand out. They want to keep the sand and still go up. So a lot of people want to hold on to their old ways, come here and think they're going to change. And then they don't change and they blame AA. They say it didn't work for them. And so what I want to give up becomes, I wrote here, becomes part of my daily 11th step, the vision of God's will in all my activities. What do I want to do? How do I want to be? It says, remember, we are discovering the principles of living. They're universal and unchanging. Life is based on the principles. All the great religions teach the principles. Remember C.S. Lewis in his book, Mere Christianity, says that from the beginning of human existence, there's always been a sense of right or wrong. Human beings have always had that. He calls that the moral compass, the conscience. So we've always had that. And we still have it today, and we can see when we're going against that, things don't go well. It says, there's a great similarity regardless of where we see them in one group or the other. There's a great oneness in the principles of living. Behind everything is a principle. Everything on the face of this earth, everything we make, everything we manufacture has a set of principles behind it. We are created with a set of principles too. There's a way to live. You can find in many great books, all the great religions, any 12-step program. Now remember, he wrote in the foreword to this book, Joe, that we know water will freeze at 32 degrees, right? Absolutely. And he says if we practice the spiritual principles, we'll be guaranteed the same result with the change in our lives. And I believe that. And it says there's a way to live with God as the power. I'm not going to be the power anymore. And the one thing that I did was I have to change the way I react. Change the way I react to things. And so stop reacting in a certain way and acting on it. And remember it says how we react in fit spiritual condition on page 85, remember? It says we are not fighting anyone or anything anymore. And so if I'm not in fit spiritual condition, I will react poorly and I'll know that and I'll have to do 6 and 7 right away. Does this make sense? It says we look at this 12 steps as simple principles. And the principles of the steps are the personality characteristics of God's will. And there you can find the handout I gave it out this meeting where people took each step and they had a spiritual principle for each step. But these are the spiritual principles that guide our lives. And remember it says in the big book, our code of living is what? Love and tolerance is our code of living. And if I bring love in every situation, unconditional love in every situation, it'll be okay. And when I don't bring that in, It doesn't have to be go well. What am I bringing into each situation? Am I bringing love and tolerance into every interaction I have? Well, I know when I'm not, because I'm getting judgmental and irritated and bothered. That doesn't work for me anymore. And so I try to let go of that, practice the opposite. You're still going to get bothered, don't get me wrong. Somebody's probably judging me right now, that's okay. But we do it automatically because we're self-centered people. But we have to stop and say, okay, they are what they are. I don't want to go down this path again. It says, we look at the 12 steps as just principles without a lot of instructions. See, we don't have the 12 rules. We have 12 steps. They're actions. And we have instructions and directions. And people show you how to use these principles. And it's up to you whether you practice the steps or not. Now, if you don't practice the steps, tell us how things are going. And then do the steps and tell us how it goes. That's all A says. If your way isn't working, try this. We don't tell you you have to do it. The reason people do it in the end is because we don't have any other choice. And so as long as people think they have another choice, they're not going to follow through on the steps. But when they run out of options and they're completely defeated, then we can help them because then they're willing to go to any length, remember? And he talks about religion took the same principles, put a lot of instructions with them, added a lot of comment to them over 1,000 years to where now people can hardly find the principles in their programs. I think that may be true. Often religious groups have gotten involved in other things and gotten away from the basic principles of how to live. Father Leo says, religion separates, spirituality brings people together. I don't know if that's true or not, but I think there's a lot of truth in that. We don't want to separate anybody in this room from each other. We're a spiritual body here tonight. It says, so the whole process is now, from now on, is change. We must be open, we must be willing, we must see the power of change. The result of the steps is called a spiritual awakening. Is that what it says on the board? And at the back of the book, it says a spiritual awakening is a personality change sufficient to overcome alcoholism. I'm going to change my personality. I'm going to change the way I think, the way I act. I don't want to be a self-centered person anymore. I don't want to be that person. I want to be a God-centered person. And we can change with God's help and by following these steps. So the whole process has changed. We could see all the frustration that has been brought into my life. I've learned that the key to changing a situation from now on is to change me and change the way I react. I think this is such a true statement, not even try to change anybody else. And so I want to react and fit spiritual condition. So I won't try to change them. I'll just change the way I see it. Now, isn't that the serenity prayer? Mm-hmm. The serenity prayer is, God, give me serenity, which I forgot. I always thought it's I'm going to figure out what I need to change or what I need to have courage from, right? But the serenity prayer is I go to God first. And after I have serenity and peace with God and I'm one with God, then I can see what I need to change or what I need to fix. And what it's saying is that if I go to God first, I'll react differently. And John's favorite line is, when we're agitated or doubtful, right, John?
That's
we
correct.
Pause when agitated or doubtful and ask the right thought or action. That's the guiding rule of our life. And the big book and the 12 of 12 focus on, it's a spiritual axiom. This means this is absolute spiritual truth, that if I'm ever disturbed in any way, is something wrong with me. It's always me if I'm disturbed. And why is that wrong? Because I don't have to be disturbed. The only person that can make me disturbed is me and my self-centeredness. And so the best way to change things out there is to change ourselves. Did anybody try to change out there or change them? It just doesn't work. I think for me, I tried to wrest satisfaction, happiness out of life, it says, by managing well. I had this delusion that if I could fix out there, I'd be okay, I'd feel good. Anybody else have that? And I think for alcoholics, I had a few good hours. You know, I had a few good days. But, you know, it never lasts. And Chuck C. said, the human ego is never satisfied. We can never fix out there enough if I'm an alcoholic to be okay. So we have to fix it ourselves in here, how we react, how we see things. If I change my reactions, I'm free. So when we say the third step prayer, it says the bondage of self. Anybody heard that before? Anybody like that prayer? Mm-hmm. It's good. So really, it's the bondage of way I react. And when I react a certain way, I'm in bondage to it. And I will react a certain way if I'm self-centered versus God-centered. And I can see that now. And so I want to be free of that. I don't want it to have power over me anymore. And ironically, by doing so, we produce some changes out there. I think the changes we produce out there is we see things differently. They're not as bad as we thought they were. And we start accepting more, and we're more tolerant. And the guy in the acceptance chapter, Dr. Paul, said that when he stopped fighting everything wrong with his wife, she began to look better. And she acted better. And he thought he was, and she thought he was better. And we change the way we see things. We change the way we react. When we're drinking or using drugs or pursuing any other compulsion, we're trying to fill our emptiness up with the wrong things. See, alcohol, drugs, food, control of other people, these are expressions of people who don't have the principles of living, people who are self-centered. We need alcohol, drugs, food, control of other people to feel good, to fix the way we feel. And so he says the compulsions are symptoms. Now, where does it say that alcohol is but a symptom? Anybody remember? It's in the big book. It's on page 64. It says at the top of page 64, you don't have to get your book out. It just says you take step three, and it won't have any permanent effect, step three, the decision, unless you face and be rid of the things that are blocking me from God. Liquor was but a symptom. So if I'm blocked from God through my self-centeredness, then alcohol is a symptom of my self-centeredness, and it becomes the solution. And Jason and I were working before the meeting, and I said, Jason and I had no power between alcohol and me. And so I had to put a block between alcohol and me. And the only way I could do that is to have God do that by taking away the block between me and God. So God's over here, alcohol is here, and I'm here. And I'm blocking God, so I have no power. And if I unblock God, I have a power. And that's the whole program. And if I have God, I have a power to live and react in any situation in a positive way, and I don't have to have the turmoil and chaos that I had. Anybody have turmoil and chaos when they come in here? Some of us still get, we can still get it, can't we? And so we have to do this every day. And he makes a great point. The steps don't deal with the symptoms. The steps doesn't really talk about alcohol. It doesn't tell you how to drink better or which beverage works better or this and that. The steps are not talking about dealing with the symptoms. They teach us how to live. If I live a spiritual life with God, I have power between me and alcohol. And I won't seek alcohol because it's not a solution. I'll seek God. So if I have a bad reaction today and I'm judging something, I don't feel good, I don't say I want to drink. I say, God, please change the way I see it. That's what he says, go to God first. First things first. Seek first your relationship with God, and then other things follow. That's what the whole program is about. It says, if I learn how to live and practice the principles, then the problem won't be there because it's just a symptom. And the big book says several times the problem will be removed. On page 45, it says, we have a dilemma. We need a power to live, and we don't have it, right? And we need a power greater than ourselves. And he says, we find the power solves our problem. See, I don't solve any problems anymore. I just get out of the way and I let God solve the problems. And there are a lot of problems when I get between me and God. Anybody have a bad day? If you do, I caused it. I'm the only person who can tell myself I have a bad day. God doesn't say, bad day, Michael. God says, change the way you see it. So I really don't have to have these negative emotions anymore. They don't have to dominate my life. They're still going to be there, so we have to do this all the time. We're never free of this. It says, whatever our compulsion or addiction is, it's only a symptom of an underlying illness. Remember, it says, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we will straighten out mentally and physically. The spiritual illness is my separation from God and His power and the way I see things. And once that malady goes away, then I won't have to worry about wanting to drink, and my physical problem of my allergy to alcohol won't even come into play. And if my spiritual malady is overcome, I'll straighten out mentally in terms of my thinking, and I won't be full of anger and fear and resentment and harm people, and then I'll be okay with the world. I won't have anything separating between me and other people because I won't be harming them anymore. It says, if we use the program, we can get over our compulsion. There are people here that can speak to that, right? It's true. We celebrate a great birthday tonight. Way to go. Mm-hmm. It says, it's a simple process. Not only do we get over it, but we find out the result of over it is that we get some living skills we'd never have gotten if we hadn't had the problem. Joe and Charlie make this point. We come out of this disease better than when we came in, because we come out with a spiritual life. We come out with tools for living, which we had no idea how to live before. And so actually, we come out of the situation a lot better than we're in it. We gain the tools to live by. And I wrote the tools of change, the tools of accepting. Accepting, not that I go around accept anything, because some things are wrong, but I can accept it as it is and then figure out how I react to it with God's help. It says he likes the illustration of how to lose weight. When we talk about the principle change, if you want to change the body, use the same principle as you use the mind. And this is a very good example. The body is the result of the food we put into it. And that's what my mind is. Remember, my alcoholic problem settles where? In my mind. And my mind was the result of thoughts that I put into them. And there were all my old ideas. And remember, your thinking will determine your actions. So if you don't change the way you think, you won't change the way you act. If you want to change the body, we have to change the food we put into it. If you want to lose some weight, you have to stop eating the food you really like. Sorry, but it's true. Yeah. Maybe it's candy or fast foods, milkshakes, french fries, all that stuff. Those things are objectionable. I'll just tell you a funny story. I was just on this cruise, and you know, there's a lot of food. And you eat more than you ever would. And this one lady was saying, well, it's not so bad because they give you small portions. Yeah. But you could have a lot of small portions. And she had three scones on her plate. And, you know, people have these delusions. All right. We're being recorded. Behave. Those things are objectionable. And why are they objectionable? It says, if you look in the mirror and saw yourself, you saw how you looked and you saw the results of eating those foods. And we looked in the mirror with steps 4 and 5, we saw our personalities. Now, I don't know if this is a really good example, because you're the only person who can tell yourself you don't like the way you see yourself. You're the only person who tells yourself you're too heavy. God loves everybody. But the point is, if you think it's objectionable and something that's harming you, causing you problems, then you want to change. And he says, the foods have become objectionable. If you want to change, then you have to not eat those foods. Now, I heard something really brilliant, that if you want to work the steps, you have to stop drinking. Does that make sense? And then I heard something else that was really brilliant. If I continue to practice my character defects, they're not going to go away. So if I'm angry and judgmental and tolerant all day long, then I'll say, God, well, what happened? Well, I chose to be that way. And so what we're doing now is saying we don't want to choose to be that way anymore, and we're going to try when we start to get that way to change. He says, when you don't eat those foods, you turn around, you make yourself eat others that you probably don't want to eat. And you don't like that stuff. What you really like is the other stuff, but you don't like what the other stuff's doing to you. And as you work against yourself, you say, I'm not going to have that piece of cake, I'm going to have celery. As you stop eating what you want to eat and start eating what you don't want to eat, you're going to see changes. And then the more changes you see, the more you're going to continue to do it. It's the same with exercise. If you see the results of exercise, you start to feel better. And after a while, you enjoy the exercise. After a while, you may like celery. As your body begins to change and you start losing weight, you think better about yourself. So this is how we get self-esteem, by taking positive actions. And you can do the things you couldn't do before. You have different relationships. Your life is really beginning to change as a result of it. Then it's very interesting. People tell me the food they didn't like, they begin to like. And so remember, they talk about we practiced our self-centered personality. We have to stop now. We have to try to practice a different way to live. And when I see myself starting to get resentful, I have to say I have to forgive. I have to accept. I have to be considerate. And it says the things happen in the human personality. We get rid of the old things and start practicing the new. With these new things, more love, tolerance, and patience. And the big book is consistent. Love, patience, tolerance, kindness, love and tolerance, practice love. And they got that from the book of James, and it's the spiritual principles of how God wants us to live. Unconditional love. And it says we have less problems if we're practicing love, patience, and tolerance. And remember, the big book told me my problems are my own making. I didn't like that when I read that the first time, but that was the greatest promise, because I can change the way I see things, and I can't change them out there. And so we can change ourselves, and then the problems change and go away. It says, as we receive more courage, we could do things we couldn't do before. Our self-esteem grows. We feel better about ourselves. As we practice his steps, we see powerful changes taking place in our lives. And I heard somebody say a long time ago, if you want to build self-esteem, do esteemable acts. Now think about it, because that's it. You do esteemable acts, you feel better. I look at the battles that go on in life, and I look at resentments and fears, guilt and remorse, and how these things block us from God. Remember, that's what we inventory in step four. What are things that are blocking me from God? And shackle me to self, the bondage of self. Then I look at love, tolerance, patience, courage, and wisdom, and these are qualities come from God, and they have this personality chart here. And the qualities that come from God, they're always within us. Remember, we block that away, remember? On page 55, it says, worship of other things separate us from God. We decide how we want to be when we're self-centered, and then that separates me from God. These qualities that come from God, and they're always within us. Remember, deep down inside of us is the fact that God's within us, and he's there if we seek him. And in our outer and inner conflicts, we can see the powers of self combining the powers of good. And we can look at those things, the powers of God we have within us, and recognize that they're powerful tools. So when I have a self-centered personality, I have a lot of resentment, fear, pride, and sex instinct, and I don't have much love, tolerance, courage, and humility, and wisdom. And I'm short of that in the self-centered personality. In the balanced personality, when I have God in the center, then I have more love, patience, tolerance, humility, and wisdom, and I have practiced less of the negative qualities. So it's your choice each day. What do you want to be? How do you want to be? Which person do you want to be? And that's, he says, we choose God as everything or nothing. If God's everything, give him my life, practice my life, and live the way he wants me to be. If I choose me as the center of my life, then my self-centeredness comes in, and then all these character defects get triggered. We have not been using the powers of God because we've been traveling on resentments, traveling on fears, traveling on guilt and remorse. And you see that in your fourth step. And you can see that each day, because it says that when you inventory a night, wherever you're selfish, dishonest, resentful, afraid. And God put these qualities in each person. These are the powers that are good. And they're within all of us. So when I did my fourth and fifth step, I looked at the person I created, not God. And I could see the person that God wanted me to be. And we haven't been using them because I've been blocking them by carrying on to my selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, fearful, inconsiderate characters. So why would I want to do that anymore? Why would we do that anymore? You see, that's the riddle. Why would I want to practice those? And so as you practice 6 and 7 each day, you recognize very quickly when you're off the beam and back in self, and then you very quickly want to adjust yourself so you're at peace with God. And the peace with God is only in the now. If I'm in resentment, I'm in the past, angry, and if I'm fear, I'm in the future. And if I'm not in fear and resentment, I'm in the now with God. And it's, I wrote here, you see the real me, the person God created. Sandy Beach, in his famous talk on the 10th and 11th steps, says that what you do is you do what Michelangelo did when he made David, when you do your fourth and fifth step. He said, David, he just took the block of stone and he peeled away everything that wasn't David, and there was the magnificent David. And what we're given a gift in AA is that we can take and see the character that I covered up, and we can see the person we want to be. It's a great gift. And so we can make that choice each day to be the person that God created. And I think I'm going to stop there, and then we're going to finish this next week. I find this very helpful. It's a constant reminder to me. It's like a charge of what we need to do if we're going to have a life of peace and service. And so the question is, why don't we do it some days? That's the riddle of our existence. But God gave us a gift, and it says at the end of the steps, it says God disciplines us, right, in this fashion. And God gave us a gift that when we're in free will and we're separated from Him, we don't feel good. And so it's a gift now when you can see that you don't feel good and you're just separated from your Creator. Now, if you're new, you may not believe any of this. It may sound like a, you know, sounds good in theory. But if you do this for a while, you know God's there. You know that it's a resource that you could tap. Remember the central fact of the people who wrote this book. Does anybody remember what it is? I'll read it and then I'll shut up. It says on page 25 where they're talking about there's a solution. And you don't have to all turn, but this is the whole deal. It says the great fact is just this and nothing less, that I've had deep and effective spiritual experiences. That's been true for me. And they've revolutionized my whole attitude toward life, toward my fellows, and towards God's universe. It changed the way I see things. And the central fact of my life today is the absolute certainty that my Creator has entered into my heart and life in a way which is indeed miraculous. And I could say that's true. And He has commenced to accomplish those things for me which I could never do for myself. And since that's true for me, when I'm back in self, I know that I can turn away from these thoughts and let go of them and turn to God, and the situation will change. And so it's great stuff, and we'll finish the 6 and 7 next week.